Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to the Wise Women Media radio show listeners, and thank you for listening for yet another installment of our show. I did want to make note of our sponsors tonight, Daughters of Isis, Florida Nature Photos, There Be Monsters on Blog Radio, Power New Media and Public Relations, Roundtree 7, Tarot and Stars, and the Hoodoo Blog. We do have a new home. We are no longer on Posterous, which will be closing down. So you can find us on the web at wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. And if you want to donate to help us stay on the air every week, just hit us up at the GoFundMe link at the top part of the blog, and any little amount will do, $5, $10, whatever you can spare to help us pay for the internet and do research for the show. And tonight we have a great couple of guests about a new venture, creative endeavor that started in Tampa, and it's called Tampa Bay Time, which is a community skills exchange that's meant to help us look at bartering and sharing our skills and giving up of our time in revolutionary ways to help one another and to foster community. So I want to introduce our guests. The first one is Marie Nelson, and I'm going to have Marie pop in right now, tell us a little bit about herself and how she got the idea to start Tampa Bay Time. Marie, you there with me?
I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself and how this whole thing got started.
Well, I guess I'm one of those unusual academics who always identifies with the general public more than, in some ways, more than with academia. And on my last sabbatical, I decided to, this was in 2004, I decided to, instead of doing more research, I was going to study community organizations and learn more about what was going on in Tampa Bay and get better connected myself, because I was looking forward to retiring in seven years after that. And so I began to get more active politically, which was kind of coming full circle for me, because I started out as an activist. And I've always been able to find jobs where I could do my activism through my work, which I think is, I've been very lucky in that way. But so during that period of having a year to study, I studied community organizations, I studied changes that were happening, and one of the things I began to be very concerned about was the economic situation. I became concerned about the level of injustice economically and in other ways in our country, and I became concerned about climate change and food supply and water supply. So I was trying to think of how I could, what could I do that would make a difference. And eventually I realized that one thing that every community could use is a way to be, with the economic situation worsening, it seemed to me that one thing that our community could use was a way to survive if the economy got really bad, and then suddenly the economy got a lot worse. And so I began reading and studying about time banks. And that's how I got started with this. A time bank is a community service exchange. It's a collection of people and organizations who work to connect unused resources in the community with unmet needs in the community. And it's a way of reweaving community 1 hour at a time. And I love time banking because I have spent my life doing a lot of volunteering and participating and being friends with a lot of people who give a lot of volunteer hours to organizations, whether it's churches or political groups or environmental groups, social justice groups. And I suddenly realized that time banking could help not only individuals, but it could help organizations as well. So.
And of course, the need, you must have definitely thought about the economic downturn in our country when setting this up. When did the Tampa Bay Time actually open and take its first postings?
We launched in May of 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a couple of several years actually after the downturn. But it was also coincided approximately with the time that I was planning to retire. So we got started, and then after about a year of us going along slowly, sort of figuring out how things work as we go, I retired, and we've been trying to build it up a little more since then.
And now, how has it grown since it launched? Would you say that I know you're doing a lot of outreach right now with the regular potlucks and getting people together so they can share their, you know, share their different skills and the levels of their skills with other people in a face-to-face setting. So can you speak on that a little bit and tell me how that's working and is that growing?
Well, we started with about 11 or 12 members, and most of them were my friends. I just called together people that I knew that I thought might be interested. I invited a lot of people to a meeting. I had a friend who said, I'll do it with you. And so we just jumped in and started. And about 11, 12, 13 people signed up. And since then, we've grown to about 200, and we're over 250 members now. And we basically have people spread all over the Tampa Bay area. We have a group in Polk County that's interested in joining us as a partner and starting a time bank over there. They may or may not stay as part of Tampa Bay Time. We're going to see how it works and explore that with them. We have people from Hillsboro, Pinellas, Polk, Pasco, a growing number of people in Pasco and an organization in Pasco that is asking to join a food co-op, a growers co-op.
And, so you thought you were going to retire, right?
I thought that.
So it's,
I always kind of knew I wasn't really going to retire totally. I just didn't know I was going to get so excited about time banking.
Right. Now, the person who seems to really have the skill for putting people together with the different exchanges of the hours is Sherry Cool, and she's on the line with us now, too. And Sherry, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started in this and just how it's grown since you've been a part of it and how you're able to suss out these exchanges and actually put them together? It's kind of like matchmaking, but with skills.
Yes, I'll be happy to. Thank you. Well, I was so excited when I heard about it from someone that knows Marie. And she invited me. Her name is Deborah Radalia, and she invited me to a meeting, and I was instantly interested. I'd already been involved with this barter through a local bartering company, and I was a bit dismayed by all the fees and costs of that, and it really didn't seem to fit me. And I had decided to discontinue with that. So it was the same month I had met Deborah about this concept of time banking, and I just loved it immediately. So I attended her party, her orientation potluck, and it was just such an amazing event. And I just knew that this was for me. And I also volunteered to have the next orientation for the next, well, I wanted it in a couple weeks, and that was a little bit too soon because of Christmas time. So we set it up for January. Well, what I found was just very simple for me to, you know, find someone I want to create, you know, have an exchange with, and then, you know, record the exchange and take advantage of some of the amazing skills that some of our members have. And so what I did was I would find someone that I wanted to exchange with and just set that up and do the exchange. And I just decided to try it out simply in the beginning. I did a simple consultation with someone on the phone. I asked for some advice about something. In fact, it was called the worm bin that would help me with my garden. So that was 45 minutes. And then I contacted another member. And I was just very interested in what they did and decided I would explore the different, you know, qualities that the individuals have. And it's been working for me extremely well. I'm always, you know, finding friends that would like to be in it. I invite them. We have orientations and sign up many members, new members. And, you know, then I decide, well, I want to take advantage of a skill that they might have. I had someone come over recently, and she did 4 hours worth of mending for me. And she, you know, requested. Yeah, it was just amazing because she's a pro. She used to do costume designing, and I was just so excited because her skills were exceptional, are exceptional. And she, and I said to her, I enticed her with the idea, well, you know, you can come over and watch a movie at the same time. So she actually had me record a movie for her that she could watch the next day, and that was last Monday. And that was the Bible, and she watched it, and she even took some items home and return those to me, and is coming back again this Monday. And it's been just amazing for me. I've had hours and hours of landscape and tree work. I've had, oh boy, what can I remember now? There's been so much. It's just been fabulous for me.
What are some of the unusual skill sets that you've found with some of the members that have signed on to Tampa Bay Time?
Okay, well, there was one member that posted that she'll do deep cleaning. She doesn't want to come over and do just regular housekeeping. She wants to do deep, deep cleaning. So she was actually very thrilled to clean out my whole storage room. She was over for 5 hours. I helped her also to you know, be able to at least tell her what to do with some items, throw them away or where to place them, et cetera. But she was she'd love to see that before and after. That, to me, was a little unusual, and she also offered to clean out my garage.
It's crazy. So and, you know, that's the kind of job, that's like asking a friend to help you move, you know. Those are the kinds of people that are hard to find. I wanted to let everybody know that's listening in, you can call in and ask questions, or you can join us in the chat and post your questions there. But if you'd like to call in and speak with either me or any of our two guests, Marie Nelson and Sherry Cool, just give a ring at 213-816-0357. I have a lot of questions. I don't even know where to start. So, Marie, going back to Marie, tell me what you think this does most for community. Time banking. Tell us about some of the positive attributes of doing skill sharing like this.
Well, first of all, as you can tell from what Sherry's been saying, it helps people get things that they need done. And for many people, these are things that maybe they couldn't afford otherwise. For example, we have two, maybe three accountants in the time bank. We have many, many teachers who could do tutoring. We have an acupuncturist, several massage therapists. So things that you might ordinarily say, well, that's kind of a luxury. I don't know if I would spend my money on that or if I could afford to spend money on that. You might be able to make an exchange in which someone would do that for you. And then, on the other hand, it also helps organizations. We have a few organizations in the Time Bank. We're just beginning to work with organizations, but large and small nonprofits could work with Time Banks, businesses, the main schools, churches, hospitals have sponsored Time Banks or participated with Time Banks in other groups, civic groups, clubs. The interesting thing is that if the organization is totally aligned with time banking values, then it can participate as a member. And organizations can do things like they receive a lot of benefits. For example, they get an expanded pool of volunteers. But they also get something valuable, which is TBT hours. They get to reward their volunteers by, if their volunteers, the organization would need to sign up and join the time bank, but and so would their volunteers. But if their volunteers sign up and then go to volunteer at that organization, they can then earn hours from the organization for the work they do. So many nonprofits like to join. And we also have small businesses that, for example, an arts theater or a theater of any kind might say, well, we tend to have sold-out tickets. I mean, we don't always sell out our tickets, so we will let people give us a couple of hours in exchange for sitting and watching a movie or a play. Mm-hmm. And then we can then spend those hours to have the plumber come in or for whatever needs. They can either trade with individuals in the time bank or they can trade with other organizations and share resources, other organizations. They can begin to, we call it co-production, when we are co-producing each other's organizations by sharing what we have to offer and in exchange for what we need.
And it's what I like about it, too, is it puts everybody on an equal level. So, in other words, we were talking about this in the pre-interview where we spoke of, like, say somebody comes to your house and they do some dog grooming, and then they get an hour, and that gets stored in the time bank. And they can use that hour, whoever the dog groomer was, they can use that hour that they earned getting an hour's worth of legal advice for some other matter.
Right.
So that becomes a real valuable hour, but everybody's hour is worth the same. And I like that idea with community, that everybody's time is valuable and that everybody has a skill to share that other people need. So, as we said before, this is relocalizing. There's a lot of organizations, too, that are local that kind of just their mission statement and everything about them meshes right in with the time bank. And, of course, I'm speaking of Transition. For one, Transition Tampa just became official, and that's one organization that fits right in with Tampa Bay Times' whole idea of time sharing and doing things in a revolutionary new way. So what can you tell us about the two different kinds of time banks? Because there are two different kinds, and probably most people listening to us tonight are not aware of that.
Well, actually, there are many, many kinds. Every time bank is different, but I've sort of grouped them in my own mind, in two large groupings. They could be grouped in other ways as well, I'm sure. One is those that are grassroots time banks that are run by their members, member-led time banks. And the other is time banks that are associated with large groups, with agencies, with a large nonprofit, with a government organization, with a hospital, say. The interesting thing is that, as far as I can tell, they tend to somewhat grow together. In fact, that is my goal for Tampa Bay Time. Currently, everyone, Sherry and I and all of the other members who are participating in the organizing of it, and there are about 10 or 12 people, are all paid for our work in hours. We're not earning anything. But for our time bank really, really to grow, we need to have some people who can devote a regular, more time to it instead of having a few people volunteering only. So there are a couple of ways we could achieve that. We could affiliate with another group. And I think I can see us affiliating perhaps with three or four larger organizations who might who use a lot of volunteers. I'm going to use hospice as an example, although hospice, we haven't approached hospice about this, but hospice, I heard recently from the director of it, has 14,000 volunteers in the Bay Area. And so they probably, you know, organizations that have a lot of volunteers like that probably have volunteer coordinators. They have paid staff who manage all of that. The time bank can offer a way for them not only to do some of that management, but also to reward their volunteers. And it offers groups other benefits as well. If it's a group that is working for social justice, time banks help to rebalance the economy, that the market has sort of taken over our economy and the local economy and what time bankers call the core economy have been sort of cannibalized. You know, they've been converted into things that you do for pay. Childcare,
right.
Now, you have to pay for childcare, because we don't live close to our parents and our friends and in the neighborhoods where we grew up always. So it's harder to ask for help, right? Elder care is the same way. Parents are, you know, people are spending lots of money to go into assisted living facilities when they might be better off aging in place. And time banking is very good. In fact, in Japan and in China, in Japan alone, there are there are two large networks with over 200 time banks that are devoted primarily to elder care.
And are those usually divided up within geographical areas with that many time banks? Would you say that they're divided up in sections or prefectures, as they call their counties?
Yes. I suspect that most of them are locally based, but the goal is to provide care for the parents. And as you probably know, in Japan and in China, the parents are taken care of historically by the children.
Right.
And
that's in many old world cultures. Like, I lived in Greece for 3 years, and I never even heard of an assisted living facility or a nursing home because the elders stayed with their children.
Right.
Or completely by their children. So.
But you also have the case where the children are in Tokyo, where the jobs are, or in Osaka or Kobe, and the parents are still fishing in the fishing village, you know, or working their farm, or doing whatever they did in their running their shop in their hometown, or maybe they're on the city council. And so what happens is in the Japanese system, people can earn hours and donate them to their parents, and they can do that in our system too. You can donate hours to anyone you want to donate hours to, and we even have what we call a care share account, where you can donate hours to be available in case someone has an emergency.
That's just amazing. I mean, I just find that this is so community-driven. And I just don't think enough people know about this. And I also wanted to talk a little bit, or have you all elaborate a little bit about complementary currency. Can you mention how this actually becomes currency? Because this is a form of currency. It's you know, I mean, I guess what I mean is currency, but not as we think of it. We know the dollar is failing. It's not even considered worthwhile anything overseas in an overseas market. So our dollar has failed everywhere but here. So will this be our new currency now?
Well, it isn't yet, but increasingly time banks, there are over 300, 400 of them in this country, basically affiliated with two networks, which I can tell you about, but I would call it a complementary community currency. It's complementary because it's not in competition with the dollar. It's over and above what the dollar does. It does not compete, primarily compete with dollars. It's intended as not a replacement for, but it's grounded in the local community, and it fosters local interdependence and local businesses, and local community building. And actually, the goal of time banking is to rebuild community so that that other economy, not the market economy, but what time bankers call the core economy, can be strengthened. And the core economy includes things like raising healthy children, revitalizing our neighborhoods, making democracy work, nurturing the spirit, building strong families, advancing social justice, and also taking care of the planet, right? These are the things that people are doing when they have time and would do more often if the market economy hadn't sort of taken over and expanded to take all of our free time. So in a time bank, the time bank basically pays you, but not in dollars. It pays you in hours for any work you do in any of these areas.
So do you, I'll go back to Sherry now, because Sherry can perhaps fill us in on a strategy for more organization and how we can get this going in different areas in the Tampa Bay, in the Tampa Bay area, for instance. You're saying there's more people in Pasco, but what about branching out to, like, you know, Bradenton, Sarasota area, northwards into Hernando County, over into Polk? So how is the strategy going to work to, number one, let more people know about it, and number two, meet people face-to-face and speak with them about their skills and tell them about the Tampa Bay Time Bank?
Well, you know, it's simply going to start with, you know, each individual who understands it and really gets this concept and is excited and passionate about it. It's simply sharing it with their friends and having them each, you know, tell their friends, their church members, you know, anyone that they know or someone they'd like to have an exchange with, just to introduce the concept, and that's it. It's simply word of mouth. It's purely a volunteer system, and if they'll just communicate about it and, you know, try something very simple, you know, to say, you know, I need you to watch my children for an hour, if it's someone they know, and just say, I'd love to reimburse you with an hour of time, and introduce a concept like that. They can take it very gradually and expand it from there and, you know, have an event, bring a few friends over, and create an actual potluck. It really doesn't have to be a big, big meeting at first, but it can be where someone like Marie or myself can come over and, you know, speak with everyone and just have us do like a little offering of, you know, what are your offers, what are your requests, and just share a meal with the person. It's a really great concept to break bread, so to speak, with people. And this is one of the strengths of time banking, is that you're able to have a great meal with them and build a relationship. It's really about us being generous, giving, caring people, because money is not involved. And so you're able to build relationships. And that's what I'm noticing right away, is I'm building great friendships already with members and having a fabulous time with them. And it is a feeling, an old-fashioned feeling of community where people can help each other. Not everything is involved with passing around your business card and networking, because I do a lot of that, so I'm comfortable with it. But what's really nice about this is we create real friends. So I'm very excited about it because of that. So if I meet someone from any area, I'll just tell them about time banking and say, why don't you, you know, consider inviting someone over? And we have a member who's in a county further from me, and she needs help with a lot of laundry and folding and ironing. And I just said, well, why don't you just invite someone over for an hour or two, entice them with the idea that I was speaking about earlier, which was, you know, maybe have them watch a movie. She said she has Netflix, and she laughed when I told her about what I did, thought it was very creative, and now I think she might have a solution. So I think it's just very simple. As long as someone wants to have, you know, an exchange and wants to expand their life or create something like a personal assistant, to me this is like Christmas every day. We're able to go back into our back office and, you know, find a skill that someone has that we may not have and just ask them, you know, can we do an exchange? You have something I really want. I want to learn how to do soap making, for instance, and just, you know, offer to give them an hour or two and have them teach me soap making or stained glass stepping stone making, something that I'd like to offer when I get a little more help from someone who's in stained glass cutting. To learn how to work with those tools, then I can offer a great class and have some people come over and build stepping stones for their gardens. I mean, it's just unlimited how much you can do with it. It's pure creativity. It's pure fun. It feels like an extravagance in a sense, but really it isn't. It's filling basic needs. I have a lot of things that I'm trying to get completed in my environment, and what I do is I just either find someone in the time bank or I recruit them and ask them to be a member, and before you know it, I've got something fabulous happening in my environment again. I was able, like Marie mentioned, we have an acupuncturist who came to see me, and my health is improving because of that. Tremendous. I have someone helping me build two websites. You know, what could be better than that? You know, I paid my donation fee, which I was more than happy to do to support it. This is a nonprofit, and I'm getting incredible work from an incredibly talented person who knows all about websites and whatnot, and so I couldn't be happier. I'm just really, really thrilled with this concept. I'm so happy to have met Marie. She's so talented. She's always there to answer any question. She's working very, very hard to build this area up, and what I decided with Deborah Ladalia, who I mentioned earlier, is to work on my area, which is Clearwater, because then I don't have to spend a lot of time and gasoline going to visiting other areas. But at the same time, there might be a skill that's just so valuable that I am willing to go to Tampa or St. Pete. It really depends on the individual.
Now, currently, you all have been doing events and potlucks over at Sacred Grounds, which is 4819 East Bush Boulevard. And are you doing any one? Do you have any of those coming up? And kind of tell us exactly what goes on at those potlucks. Do people speak? Do you have like engaging speakers, or do people just speak with one another and just network and talk about how to grow this endeavor?
Well, we usually have some sort of process to get people to know each other. And my goal is, I'm a permaculture person, so I really like to have every activity fulfill multiple functions. So we will, for example, put people in small groups to talk to each other. Their goal is to introduce themselves, to get to know each other, and to find out what each one has to offer and what each one needs, and if anybody has trouble. Americans have a lot of trouble saying what they need sometimes. So one of the goals of the small group is to help each other figure out, identify your needs or something that you would like to have done. And then after 15 or 20 minutes, they can rotate to another group and meet four or five more people, and we can do at some of our larger picnics that we're having a picnic coming up in Philippi Park in Safety Harbor on Sunday the 14th. And we'll probably put people into groups and let them rotate around on that date, because that's something they seem to really like. They don't get bored. They don't have to listen to a lecture. We can put an experienced person to anchor each group, and then when people rotate around to that person can answer their questions. And so that's very helpful. And that way there's not, you know, the initial orientation is more fun than intellectual. You know, they can ask all their questions at the end. If people still have questions, we can answer the questions and clear up any misperceptions and tell them how to move to the next step. Or it can become purely social. We also have a monthly meeting at Wings Bookstore in St. Pete, which is on 4th Street North at around 45th or 46th Avenue. And we go there and people come and
sometimes if it's a large group, we do this kind of thing, and sometimes it's a smaller group, and it's just about getting to know each other, people touching base, finding out what each other need, and getting to know each other, making friends that live close by. We've also had several events at the Roosevelt 2.0 in Ybor, and we are partnering with them, as well as with Sacred Grounds Coffee House. So,
yeah, the Roosevelt is really, the Roosevelt and Sacred Grounds are really two very welcoming and very open spaces in Tampa, and just love to be at either place, actually. It doesn't matter to me because I like them both. So.
Right.
But, what are some of the challenges of getting this going? And I can see, I could probably pick one out. Maybe you all can mention a couple. But I'm thinking that this area is so huge, and it's got such a condensed population, so many people in very small spaces, that it's hard to network. And then, of course, we have the driving to and fro, which, you know, this area is also very spread out. So mention some of the challenges you had in growing the time bank.
Well, one of the key challenges is just what you're talking about, that our goal this year is to build capacity in every corner of Tampa Bay so that there will be a network of people in every area. We currently have some key people in St. Pete who regularly sponsor events. We have these two groups in Tampa who do. We have Sherry and several of her friends who have committed to sponsoring a potluck in a home once every month. And so that little team is really going strong. We have someone up in Tarpon Springs in North Pinellas, way up north in Pinellas, who has had several events at her place and invites people and then educates them about time banking. And so we're growing mostly, I think, by word of mouth. But my goal is also, I've also been going around, and I'm hoping Sherry will get to the point where she wants to do this with me sometime, because she really can speak eloquently about the way that she has used time banking, even more than I can. And we're going and speaking at various groups. Some organizations have asked us to affiliate with them. We have a new group coming on soon, which is Locally Grown St. Pete, which is a group of growers and who are growing organic and permaculture-type gardens and food forests. And a lot of people go and volunteer in those gardens and to help them get established. And so they want to be able to give back to their volunteers. So
those would be perfect organizations to actually become aligned with, anybody that's really growing. And we have quite a lot of those throughout Tampa, too, backyard permaculturists and organic growers. And now new areas are opening up, which are very rural, you know, some of the rural areas.
Right.
And there's quite a lot in the Tampa Bay area. There's almost all of East Hillsboro, then you've got East Pasco, East Hernando, and those areas are ripe for something like time banking, because there are a lot of skill sets out in the hinterlands that people in the cities probably wouldn't even have. Animal husbandry and all different kinds of farming. And,
yes.
You know, it's amazing, and it's amazing to live in this area too, because I'm learning something new every day being in a rural area, but it's hard to get places. So my idea of working with a time bank is getting it going up here. That way the people that live up here can exchange services, because there's so many things that people that aren't making any money anymore, or they've lost their jobs, but there's things that they need. Immediately.
And they're so talented. That's what needs to be really stress here is that there's so much talent in our area, all of our areas, and so many amazing voices from individuals that maybe they're not working, but they want to work. They want to create something. They want to help other people. And that's what's so vital and essential about time banking is that it does, you know, take care of people. It values them. It shows their worth. They get to, you know, utilize their skills. And I'm just noticing how much happier people that I've been communicating with have been because of time banking. And I know that it's doing the same for me, that I can use skills that I didn't even realize I had. And so, and you know, everyone is valuable. I don't know if, you know, most people don't realize how much value they have until we actually go around in a circle and start talking about our offers and requests. And then they feel, well, you know, this is something I can really do. I can really enjoy this. And I know I get that old-fashioned feeling of community every time I'm around a time bank member.
Yeah.
And one of our groups, and when this happens frequently, someone will say, well, I really need X, and somebody sitting across the room who said, well, I don't really know what I have to offer,
exactly,
will say, oh, I can do that, and, you know, I rebuild small engines all the time, or I, you know, I do upholstery, or, oh, yeah, well, I'm a crack typist, but I haven't been doing it because I've had these health issues, but I could transcribe that for you, you know. Professional skills, technical skills. We have a Microsoft certified person who has just about every Microsoft certification there is in the time, you know. We have people who do who love to work with wood, who love restoring old houses. One person in that particular condition, you know, with that particular love of things to do is currently without a job and is very open to, we have a lot of people who have woodworking skills and painting, and we have a lot of artists who, designers and, you know, and this is interesting to me, is that almost every community can benefit. There's a video that PBS did called Fixing the Future, and they did a segment on a time bank in Portland, Maine. And after that video was shown by USF St. Pete, and a couple of other groups got together and showed it at the at a big theater in downtown St. Pete. And afterwards, a lot of people adjourned over to the Ale and the Witch, which is a drinking place. And we were sitting outside getting something to eat, and people were drinking a beer or getting whatever they wanted there. And a guy came up to me and he said, you know, I work with a theater. And he said, right now we're just going into the season and I'm too busy to even think about it. But we in the arts, you know, people in the arts really need this because it's hard in hard times. It's particularly hard on arts groups. So he's on my list of people to call as soon as I think they're, you know, like when summer comes and I know that they're sort of in a lull.
Right,
I'll give
him
a call and we'll see if we can set it up so that next year when the season starts, they'll be ready.
That's what happens in a lot of our areas that makes our area so, our metro area so different than many, many other places throughout the United States. This happens all around the coastline of Florida. Once the tourists are gone, it's like the economy dies for 6 months. And, you know, we're coming into that now since most of them, a lot of the Canadians that come here to this specific area they lose their medical benefits if they stay any longer than 6 months.
Right. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so you'll see most of them, whereas the season used to be longer and they would stay until May, like after Mother's Day, in the last, I'd say, 5-10 years, they go back right after Easter. And so they can fit within that 6 months period of time. And when that happens here in this area, this particular area, literally, if you don't have enough money to carry your small business over for the six-month lull until the next season, you will lose your business. It will close. And that's how serious it is down here. And one of the reasons why I don't like Florida, most of the times I do like Florida, but it's become to the point where, you know, this whole area becomes almost like a ghost town. There's just no traffic or anything.
And, Anita, where you live is up north of Dade City, right? And near West Pasco and...
No, I'm East Pasco, actually.
East Pasco, that's what I meant to say, in East Pasco. And
yeah,
that's
and
the area you would like for us to work on building up a little bit. And one of the things I should say about building, Sherry talked very eloquently about how we have been doing that. But another thing is that one of my goals is to find more people like Sherry who like the concept and who want to be able to use it and who therefore go out and recruit people to join so that their neighborhood will be built up. And the hours that Sherry spends recruiting people, the hours she spends explaining time banking to them, helping them get signed up into the software because it is an online database, and some people are, you know, younger people are often quite adept at that and have no problems, but there are a lot of people who need help getting in and learning how to use it. And Sherry and several other people have spent a lot of time over the last 2 years helping others get signed into the time bank and helping them enter in their offers and their requests, and then sometimes even saying, yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, there's such a benefit to volunteering to do that. As soon as I heard about the opportunity to speak with a new member and find out what their offers are, I thought, this is the best position in the world. How could I not want to hear what they have to offer and then create an exchange with them as soon as possible? Because I'm the first one to know about it. and that's what's exciting to me. And I don't mean to, you know, be selfish and keep them all to myself. And I actually want to maybe be someone that others can come to find out, you know, who can I go to if needed. If they can't find someone for a special, you know, exchange, perhaps someone didn't post that exchange, but I might know just because of getting to know these individual members about some special skill that they have that they haven't told anyone about. And that's like a treasure trove for me, and to have that knowledge. And I want to share that with the others, and I want to see that my new members have a great experience like I'm having. So it's important to me that our members are winning and having fun with this and, you know, seeing the unlimited possibilities. Because it really is a tremendous gift that has been given to us to have this available without having to spend a lot of cash. I mean, I have saved hundreds of dollars already, and I've only been a member since December. So to me, this is just extremely valuable at a time when I really don't have a lot of cash to spend because of some circumstances that I've encountered, you know, in the last few years with our economy downturn also. So I'm so grateful to what has been created and the hard work that's gone into it to build up, you know, this concept. And then Deborah and I have just, you know, run with it because it's just such a gift and so amazing and so valuable. And we really want to let others know that it can really be simple if you just get a friend to share this with you and just watch a couple videos and read, you know, a couple paragraphs of our website. It really does explain it very well, as well as, you know, a book that Marie had referred to me, which is No More Throwaway People, and it's by Edgar Kahn, and it's about the concept of time banking where he created this concept. It's just a fabulous gift to all of us. I hope I've answered some questions.
Wow, that's pretty amazing, and it's, of course, a whole new way of looking at it. I wanted, as we discussed members, I wanted people to know that there is an initial cost. I don't know if it's an annual fee. Am I right?
Yes, it's
but it's a very small fee.
Yeah, it's a sliding scale.
Uh-huh. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, we charge $20 to $50. We started out charging $20, trying to keep it as low as possible. But we do have expenses. We have to pay for the software. We have to, you know, there are lots of insurance and things like that. And we're looking to get a projector so that when we're invited to speak, we can carry our own with us and not have some of the connection problems we've had in the past. So just, you know, we're very, we're not spending a lot of money, but what we decided to do about 6 months ago was to change that to a sliding scale from $20 to $50. And that way people who have money can support sponsorships for people who don't. We have never turned anyone away. We like for people to pay what they can, but 95% of, or 90% of our people, I'd say, pay 20 to 30, 35 bucks.
That way, the little overage will help somebody who cannot pay for their own because they're unemployed or whatever, or underemployed, or.
That's right.
And so
we haven't reached into those communities that are in greatest need much yet, but we have had two communities in South St. Pete, one redevelopment organization and one neighborhood organization, who have expressed some interest because those two neighborhoods are somewhat depressed, more so than the general area than more affluent areas in our in Tampa Bay, and we have a teacher who works with young men at the jail who are unable to they're unable to graduate or complete their schoolwork because they're in pretrial detention. They haven't even been convicted, but they end up dropping out of school because they lose, you know, 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks of a semester and they can't catch up. And so we are, he wants to bring some of those young men into the organization. He thinks that doing community service will be good for them and help restore their sense of worth. And there is a lot of evidence that this is true. In fact, there's in D.C. and in Madison, Wisconsin, and a couple of other places, there are youth courts that keep young people out of the criminal justice system, the criminal court system. And I think there's one in Hernando County that I visited once, maybe 6 or 8, 10 years ago, with one of my graduate students. And the youth courts in D.C. and in other places in the country are giving, they're not giving, I don't want to say giving because we aren't giving hours to anyone. People are earning hours by doing community service. So if a young person gets, you know, is a first offender and gets caught up in the system and is allowed to go to youth court, they can earn hours by doing the community service that they're sentenced to. And so then when they are sentenced to the do 50 or 100 hours of community service, they earn 50 or 100 hours that they can spend in the time bank. And the D.C. and the Madison time banks, as I understand it, those young people that have been caught, you know, in the justice system, they have a lower recidivism rate where there's a time bank. And I think also that kids are also more concerned about what their peers think of them than they are what adults in the system think of them. So they may be more responsive to the judgments of their peers. And after the young people are, after they're tried by their peers and the judge, everybody will be peers. And then one of the ways that they can do their community service is by serving on the youth court, and they can earn hours for that. So they get into a system where that's very positive and not quite so judgmental, or at least it doesn't have the legal consequences
that leave them with a felony on their record and send them off to prison where they may or may not ever be able to graduate.
One of the things about somebody coming out of prison, too, which is so much part of the system, is the fact that once they have that tarnished record, they can no longer get employment in certain parts of the United States. I mean, these people aren't even they can apply for 100 jobs. They probably won't get any of them. And
right.
You know, I have some personal experience with this, not me, but people around me. So I know this to be true, especially here in Florida, with our, you know, right to work state, which is really right to fire for any cause state. That's what I call it. But the situation is such that if you can get into any kind of system that lowers the recidivism rate, so these people don't go back to jail, because they're simply trying to, a lot of them are just simply trying to provide for their families, and they can't.
You know,
and that's why the recidivism rate is so high to begin with. So, like you said, giving them something positive, a positive system to step into,
yes,
you know, is what's going to keep them grounded and becoming a productive member of society again. I think that's a marvelous, marvelous idea. So I'd like
these homecomers academies are really interesting to me, because that's what they call them, is homecomers academies. And the person who's in prison can begin to earn hours by, you know, doing good things in the prison for other people or for the prison system. They could grow food. They could help someone get their GED. If they know the legal system a bit, which some of them do, they can advise others, you know. And they can teach. They can teach skills. And then when they come out, they have hours that they can spend in the community to help them get started. They also often can have recommendations from people with, you know, either from the system itself or from someone that they helped while in prison or in jail even. When they come out, they then can have recommendations which can help them get a job. And I heard this wonderful story about in D.C. that one of the things the homecomers are doing, and I saw a video of this, they were telling about it, a group of big, burly, tattooed men talking about one of the things they love to do to earn hours, to earn more hours, is that they walk school kids through the various gang territories so that the children don't have to join gangs in order to go to school, to get
wow.
to school safely. So
amazing.
What they're doing is they're interrupting the school-to-prison pipeline, right?
Right, exactly, exactly. A gentleman has commented several times in our chat. His name is Brian, and he said GeoCorps, formerly known as Wackenhut Corrections Corps, has pretty much turned Florida into a police state, especially for black youth. And then
right.
he mentioned right to work is a right-wing phrase, means you have the right to work without being forced to join a labor union. It destroys the power of unions in a state and goes much further than that in terms of lifting any employee protections. And
exactly.
Yeah, so his name is Brian. He just mentioned that in our chat. Very true. Words could never be spoken. Tell me what ways you think the time bank is going to help us as we go into an era of you know, some of us grew up in the 50s where, you know, almost everybody was middle class. We were a nation of haves. Now we're slowly becoming, no, not slowly, quickly becoming a nation of have-nots.
Yes.
And we know that the dollar has failed just about everywhere. We're still using it here in the United States, basically, because it's worthless pieces of paper elsewhere. And it's no longer backed by oil, so we're rapidly becoming a third world country. Can you tell us in what place the time bank will fit into as we are on the economic downturn, and it doesn't look like we're heading back upward. We're just going down. What do you envision in the future for the time bank as our infrastructure crumbles around us? The time bank, to me, is going to be a positive thing, but explain a little bit more about your vision for that.
Well, I personally, and this is my vision, and this is one of the reasons I started it, and I have to say that the more I learn about time banking, the more the horizon expands, because I had no idea of many of these things were even possible. But one thing I see as very hopeful is that there are time banks in this country now that are incubating small worker-owner cooperative businesses. And this is really shifting away from either capitalism or socialism to a system that is a collaboration among individuals. There is a time bank, one time bank that I know of, and actually the people who set up this model are wanting to come to Tampa Bay, but they've asked for a little bit of money and we don't have much, so we're still trying to see how we could make that happen. But they want to come here and talk to people about how we could sponsor worker-owner cooperatives, or how time banks could help schools or any organization in addition to individuals, do a lot more with the dollars they have. And so what happened in Maine is, and this could work here just as well, because they started a weatherization co-op. And we could start a weatherization co-op to keep us cool, whereas they started one to keep warm. But this could also work with any food growing or food distribution or food preparation and distribution network or restaurants. Almost any small business could be incubated on a shoestring using time banking. And here's how they did it. They had a guy who had been flipping houses in New York, and when the bottom fell out of the housing market, he went home to Maine, I gather, and he joined the time bank. And he and his buddies in New York had been doing something similar. They had been had their house flipping business, and the way they divvied out the profits was by how many hours you had in. So if you were the plumber, you might have fewer hours than the carpenter, but, I don't know how that works exactly, but you would have X number of hours depending on the size of the house, and then they would divvy out the rewards among people based on how many hours they had invested. So they were definitely on the trail of time banking, because they were, I guess it was an informal time bank. They were treating each laborer and each construction person, as an equal. And so he went up to Maine and got involved with the time bank there, and they started brainstorming. And they decided that they would weatherize houses and small businesses, or anybody who had a building that wanted it weatherized, and they would do it because Terry had a contractor's license and lots of experience, he would train volunteers to work on the job, right? And they would then do the weatherization. They were doing level one weatherization. He said they decided not to do the real complicated stuff this way. But so he would take out a crew of volunteers, and they would do a lot of stuff in somebody's house and get it all tight for winter. And the volunteers, because they're working for hours instead of dollars, they kept the cost to the business very low, but they also, therefore, the business could keep the cost to the homeowner or the building owner low. And in the first year, they did 31 houses. In the second year, they did 64 houses. In the third year, they did 101 houses. I think my numbers are right here. And they've now gone on, this is the fourth or fifth year. I don't know those numbers. But at the end of the first year, they had made enough money that they paid, because they did it in partnership with the Time Bank, that they had enough money that the Time Bank earned $19,000, which paid their a part-time coordinator. And so then, of course, as they went through year after year, I'm sure they're making more and more. I don't know exactly how that works. I haven't asked them for all the details. But it's a model that could make the Time Bank self-sustaining, could help get small businesses started, employ people locally, and it becomes and I love this because of permaculture, you know, it fulfills so many needs at once. They had three people who decided they liked weatherizing so much that they kept doing it after they learned enough to do their own house, or after they got the hours they wanted to get something they needed. They liked it and wanted to work in that field, so they continued to work on the teams, got more and more experience, and by the end of that year, they had enough OJT hours that they qualified to sit for the state boards to get certified themselves to do weatherization. And therefore,
they now had four
small businesses that came out of the Time Bank, right?
Yeah, that's amazing. We have a caller. Let me go ahead and patch. I think it's Brian, but let me patch him in. He has a question. Brian, are you on the line with us?
Oh, no, it's Time Bank. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for calling in. And did you have a question for Marie or for Sherry?
I'd definitely like to know more about this Time Banking, as I'm struggling and need alternatives myself. What's a good website to go to regarding this?
Time Bank, TampaBayTime.org. It's http://TampaBayTime.org.
It sounds wonderful. Sounds wonderful. I mean, I do have to disagree with one point, by the way.
Okay.
Worker-owned cooperatives are not a move away from socialism. Actually, they're a move toward a type of socialism/communism. Worker-owned cooperatives are workers owning the means of production versus capitalists owning the means of production, which is a positive thing.
We shouldn't
demonize the language because of decades of propaganda from the capitalist class hurting those words.
I agree with you totally. I agree with you totally on that, both on your definition and on your not wanting to demonize. I don't want to demonize. I will tell you, let me be more clear in what I should have said. They are a move away from a kind of socialism that is dominated hierarchically for the benefit of the few at the top, and that keeps, just as we have the kind of capitalism that is dominated by hierarchy that the few at the top are benefiting.
We do have socialism for people on the top. They have enormous subsidies, and so therefore they have a socialism.
Good point.
And they want market. They want us to have the discipline of the market while they enjoy their socialism. Yeah, so it's kind of crazy. I mean, you talk about how bad the economy is doing, but the economy has been fantastic for less than 10% of the population. You know, the stock market's reached amazing new highs. Corporate profitability has been fatter than it has been in 5 decades. So they're doing very well.
Now, Brian, you're...
But they're suffering.
Brian, from your area code, you're over on the other side of Florida, am I right? You're on the East Coast?
Correct.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Do you have you looked around to see if there's a time bank in your immediate area, or you might this might even be something that you could start in your area?
Well, then we'll have to talk. I wouldn't mind looking into that. But I'm not aware of
several
over
there.
There are? Okay.
Yeah. Depending on, and I probably don't know all of them, but a lot of, when we started, there were no time banks in Florida. And now there are at least 10 or more on the Time Banks USA website. And there's also another network that may have some that I haven't checked that one as recently. And I know of two or three that have called me for advice, and that we have been kind of coaching them, or either they've dropped out of sight and given up, or I don't know, or they haven't stayed in touch. But there's a lot going on. This country has been very slow to pick up time banking for some reason, even though it was founded here. In the UK, there are over 200 or 300 time banks that are associated with the national healthcare system. And
right.
Most of them are sponsored by a clinic or a surgery, as they call a doctor's office, or a hospital or social service agency. And there are a lot of large time banks in this country. For example, there's one in New York City. The Visiting Nurses Association runs a time bank that has 3,000 people in it. And it was so successful that Mayor Bloomberg decided he wanted time banks all over the city, and there are now time banks in every borough, and I think more than one, although I haven't checked on the details. But
that
every neighborhood.
The Visiting Nurses Association is also an organization here, so it's kind of funny that they haven't really stepped out to do anything like that here in this area or in this state.
Well, we might. That would be the kind of organization that if we had some nurses in our group, they might approach that organization and say, would you like to partner with us?
Mayor, did you say Mayor Bloomberg is encouraging this?
He started the ones that the city runs. In fact, we copied their sign up, you know, the things that you have to sign off that you'll agree to these conditions and you'll act in certain ways. And we copied theirs because we figured they had the most powerful legal minds behind it, of more so than your local neighborhood time bank with 20 people in it, you know.
Yeah.
But
time banks all have
the same values.
Comments in the chat. I just wanted to read this quickly. Stephen Schwainbeck says, Maria, host and all, thank you for all you've done to make this time bank possible. I'm always inspired every time I hear you speak at permaculture events. Now I just need to get back active within the system. Thank you all. Good night. So apparently he used the time bank, then he stopped for a while, and now he's going to go back into it. So.
Yeah.
And
he's been a member for over a year.
Yeah. And
hi, Stephen.
Yeah, I don't know if he's. Yeah, he's still on. He's still listening. He's in the chat room. So, Brian, is this something that you think you'll suss out in your local area to try to find your local bank there?
I will certainly look into it. I'm certainly like to look into any type of alternative system. My only concern is that it the growth of these alternative systems is wonderful, but it doesn't seem to threaten corporate power. I mean, especially if Mayor Bloomberg is endorsing it. Yeah, it's ideally, I would like to see some movement that scares the elite. frankly, I mean, that's when the elite break down and give us concessions. I mean, it was fear of a socialist revolution that led Roosevelt to give us the New Deal. You know, in the meantime, New Deal is consistently being dismantled by both parties. You know, it's
right.
Rather depressing and nonstop. And the elites just seem to not mind. It's almost like if you go back to there was a complaint that Saul Alinsky, who was a community activist, had toward the hippie communes back in the 60s and 70s. They were going off and doing their own thing and starting their own communities, and that was their way of fighting power. Saul Alinsky said, well, power seems to enjoy that, because it's basically, leaving the system and no longer threatening power versus his type of activism, which is, getting people to rally and get upset with power and try to get concessions, higher pay and so forth. That's my only concern about this. Perhaps these alternatives haven't reached a critical mass yet, and perhaps if they do reach some critical mass, and power may say, oh. But it just seems like we're a long, long, long way away from that. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I have been an activist all my life. I lost my first teaching job in 1964 because I had a SNCC meeting at my house, which was the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, which was, in South Carolina, that was considered pretty radical where I lived. And but I decided that when I think about all the problems, I do get discouraged. And I decided that, I've been working for 40 or 50 years to bring about change, and I don't necessarily see the economy getting better. So I was looking for something that I could do that I felt could make a difference right now. I see it very much as a first step. One of the things I would like to see grow out of this is other community currencies. I have been studying a little bit about community currencies for several years, and I don't think now that we have digital community currencies, I don't think they're so hard to set up. And I think with Michael Linton, who is the guy who came up with the LETS model many years ago, that there are now LETS community currency systems all over the world, I agree with him that we could have several community currencies here, and it would be great. That it's not about competition, it's about, the permaculture principle of the more ways you have to solve a problem, the more resilient you are, and the more resilient the community will be. My vision is that time banking is one of many, many ways to help shift away from the current economy, which is about scarcity for everybody but a few people at the top, and create abundance for everybody. Because, in fact, time banking, you create the currency when you do the work. There's no shortage.
Right. That's exactly it. That's amazing.
Anita's a member of the time bank, and Anita could get hours for the time she spent setting up this interview with me and Sherry, and for doing the interview, and Sherry's going to get hours for it, and I've got so many hours I don't need anymore, but I can put them into the CareShare account, and so it's about what can we actually do right now to make a difference and help each other and start shifting and rebalancing this economy that has gotten so unbalanced and so unjust. I think it's a more just way of treating people, and it helps to restore some economic justice in our community. That's why I'm doing it. Everybody has a different take on it, however. Sherry might say that totally differently.
No, that's very positive.
Stephen also said, Maria, just so you know, people may not always use the time bank for exchange, but it is surely happening more now because of it. People are really inspired to exchange among one another after going to all these popular permaculture, I think he meant to say events, but didn't, and just living and time bank events. Not we just need to get them all organized to use this amazing system you have in place. So he's really giving you the kudos here in the chat room. And that's a really good thing, and I think that you've described it all so perfectly. And we're getting to the last 3 minutes of the show. Can you believe it? Because we did talk for an hour and a half, and we probably could have done the last half hour too. But I just wanted to thank everybody in the chat room, and I wanted to thank Stephen for weighing in, and Brian for your really profound and very thoughtful questions and comments. And Sherry, thank you for being here. And
thank
Maria, amazing work. And let's keep it going, and let's get the Tampa Bay Times and the areas in Tampa Bay that haven't seen it yet. And we'll, I'll really start working on the East Pasco area. And if anybody else has any other questions for Marie or Sherry, please go to the website, tampabaytime.org. You can weigh in there, create an account, ask your questions, or you can leave a comment on the blog at wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com, and I'll make sure that Marie sees it. And Marie, did you have any parting thoughts before we finish the show?
Well, I guess maybe if anyone wants to leave a comment, they can also leave a comment to coordinator@tampabaytime.org, and all of our coordination team will see that, which is very nice.
And so, the show will be archived forever, so if you want anybody that's listening that wants anyone else they know to hear the show, just go back to the blog talk link. And you can pass that link on forever. The show will be archived. And you can play it from the beginning or play it from the middle or whatever you like.
And Anita,
we'll be here next week, next Friday at 10 p.m., which is our normal time, for the next installment of Wise Women Media Radio Show. And, again, I want to thank Marie and Sherry for being with us. And you all have a great holiday week. And sign in to TampaBayTime.org. Thank you.
Thank you, Anita.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.